we go on the Wednesday slash kind of Friday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Grubel offices, One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio here is here. Will Summers is here. Hunter Vaughn is here back in Madison at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown. Full crew with you ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. We've got a ton to cover. Obviously, a very big football game being played in Detroit, Michigan tomorrow as the Packers take on the Lions. And a lot of really good football going to be played here the next couple of days, including, I hate to bring it up, but it was a pretty big game in the NFC happening on Black Friday.
Two contenders going at it, some people are saying. It's being branded as that by Amazon.
Being branded as the NFC Championship game preview.
Basically, yeah. Two NFC contenders duking it out.
I'll tell you what, I will say this. Will, as annoying as you have been about the Chicago Bears, I'm very much looking forward to next week as the Packers and Bears will play at Lambeau Field next Sunday.
I'll be looking forward to it if you're man enough to make a bet.
Let's discuss on Monday.
Okay, how's you keep sense? Pushing it back. I asked you before the show, you said let's talk about it on the show.
Yes, I didn't mean today's show. We're a week ahead of time.
Right.
Let's talk about it on Monday.
There's multiple shows.
I can tell. Yeah, there is. We do a show three times.
You never know.
You're going to be here next week, right?
Yeah, but you never know.
You might be scared.
I might be sick.
Oh, yeah. It would be convenient once you lose to the Eagles on Friday. All right. So a ton I want to get to. I also want to get to something that Josh will probably not be interested in, which is always what we go for on
this
show.
You can throw me into that category, too.
You don't even know what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Wow, hot start for Will here.
You're not subtle.
About?
Everything involving yourself.
Okay, go on.
You tell everybody everything. You scream it from rooftops. You say it into microphones.
Uh-huh.
So you are like Ben Brust in that way, where if something's going on in your world, everybody knows.
That's a good thing, you would argue, though, no?
No, no.
In our profession?
Sure, if it's your job and it's making good content. The problem is it's oftentimes disruptive in the office.
Okay.
Sounds like a teacher.
Yeah, so here's the thing with Josh.
A little bit.
Here's the thing. I've been really dragged down by his negativity recently.
Recently.
It's really taken a toll on me recently. Because we're
taking a toll on you. I talk to you for 1 hour, three times a week.
We're in the holiday spirit now. Holiday season, I should say. Let me talk, dude.
Sorry.
We're in the holiday season.
Everybody's.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We are in the holiday season. There's no objective argument here. There's a subjective argument here. Objectively, we are in the holiday season, okay? And you continue to be negative about everything, right? It's, I can't believe my friends who I love are coming over to spend time with me willingly on Saturday.
That's not accurate.
The Packers were boring and gross in a rout of the Minnesota Vikings, which, by the way, you got killed on Twitter.
I'm worried about what anybody says on Twitter?
No, I'm just letting you know you got killed. I just saw that this morning for the first time. I didn't
you
even know that clip
it.
Got
you
posted.
You should say things.
I do say things.
No, you tweet facts. Let's not get what your Twitter usage is twisted. You just tweet all caps facts about the game that everyone is actually watching.
I had a random Robert Sala take on Monday Night Football that I tweeted out.
I came close to blocking you for that. Nobody in your followers has ever cared about anything less.
So, random thing I learned. Robert Sala's cousin follows me?
Oh, jeez. Do you think maybe he was name searching and then ended up finding you?
And then following me? That's very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible. All right. Well, this show is off to just a raucous start. I'm having the time of my life right now.
Wow.
What's with you?
Nothing. I'm trying to do a show the day before the Packers game, and you want to talk about yourself.
No, I don't right now. The first thing on a rundown is GB Detroit, and I wanted to talk about your negativity.
What meaning what?
Meaning, where are you at on this Packers team? Because clearly you're way more down than you should be at 7-3-1.
I am exactly where I've been since September. I don't think they're a true Super Bowl contender. I think they are likely to underachieve. And I think there is lessening time for them to figure it out and things to go the right way.
But couldn't you make the argument, despite playing a bad quarterback on Sunday against Minnesota, that that was a game in which they figured it out? They ran a game plan perfectly executed in a blowout win that they won by three possessions.
Nope, because that's not going to beat teams that matter.
So divisional game doesn't matter?
It does for standings. It doesn't matter when you try and win Super Bowls, because once you're out of your division...
If you win a game by 17 points, I typically think that's a good sign.
It's, yeah, if you correct for the fact you saw one of the most boneheaded special teams play of all time, and the second worst quarterback since 2000 we've seen play the sport, and the guy worse...
Well, that's according to one statistic. And the like, guy, there have been worse quarterbacks than J.J.
McCarthy.
The
guy worse than him had substance abuse problems, actively while trying to play quarterback. So, that's the status we're in. And there's also other stats to prove that. This season, if you were to measure all the starting quarterbacks in all the games they went, I believe there's been like 384. There have been 383 better performances than what we saw from J.J. McCarthy. So, no, I don't think it matters.
So you're upset because they took care of a team that was...
That's not what Will has a bad habit, and that's... playing things into his own and then twisting them and trying to make a point to dunk on someone.
First off, not a bad habit. Keep doing it.
Terrible habit.
Don't listen to him.
I'm just asking.
We always talk about them not being able to take care of bad teams.
You said, so you're saying. No, I'm saying what I said.
That's a question. So you're saying is a question.
How bad they are, and they won by 17.
Yeah.
Three possessions.
Great.
And also, like, I don't appreciate, okay, sure, take away the touchdown after the special teams flop. You still score 16 points. You scored on your first possession. You held the opposite team to 6 points. I don't care if I'm quarterbacking. That's still impressive.
Nope. It would not be impressive if you were quarterbacking.
With the weapons on the Minnesota offense, I don't really care who's quarterbacking. Justin Jefferson
is... If you want me to dumb down and just sit here and be like, yep, everything's good, everything's great, then I'll do that.
But I'm not asking you to crown them.
That's not what I believe. That's not how I feel.
But I'm not asking you to crown them as the best team in the NFC, Josh.
Great. Then what are we arguing about?
Minnesota is not like this god-awful franchise.
They are god-awful.
No.
God-awful.
They have 4 wins on the season.
God-awful. God-awful. Their attempted net yards adjusted is one of the worst in all the leagues. Every metric we have to test these things tells us these facts. If you don't like the facts, that's fine. I'm going to maintain my beliefs in the things that I think are indicative of how good.
So how bad is Detroit?
How bad is Detroit? Detroit is a same tier as the Packers.
Who lost to Minnesota?
Yes.
The same team that the Packers beat by 17 points.
Right. And are the Packers worse than the Browns, or do things happen on occasion?
I would say no. The Packers are not worse than the Browns.
The Carolina Panthers?
Probably not worse than them.
If they're in the same boat as the Carolina Panthers, we got big problems.
I agree with that. And that's not the point I'm disagreeing with.
Your point you're disagreeing with is you want me to sit here and say niceties to make you feel warm and fuzzy because you want to make your little ham for Thanksgiving and you want to drink your Door County Distillery and just think happy thoughts. That's what you want. I'm unwilling to do that.
I'm sorry that you're going to be miserable on Thanksgiving. That sucks for you.
I'm not going to be miserable. I enjoy watching the sport. I enjoy thinking about the sport. But just because I don't think the same way you does, doesn't mean I'm
the same way you does.
Doesn't mean I'm thinking negative all the time. I'm just seeing things, evaluating, and making judgments off of it. I wish everyone would do the same.
Yes or no, Josh is negative, Will.
I think so.
That's fine.
When you compare... how Josh made the argument in the Browns game when the Packers were up and they had Joe Flacco and he said, just punt the ball. You know, let your defense take care of it. And that's exactly what Matt LaFleur did against the Vikings, and he's still not satisfied.
It was a perfectly executed game plan on Sunday, and he's not satisfied.
Yeah.
The difference between those two situations is if they wouldn't have gotten that turnover, that was one of the more... Paul Allen, what did he say? What are you doing? He screams into the microphone.
I believe he did say that, yes.
That guy is an artist, by the way.
He is.
I hate him, but he is... I mean, he's doing a radio show with play-by-play.
Yeah, I was going to say, his viral moments are terrific.
Yes. He's doing a radio show as play-by-play. It's remarkable.
I don't know if it's like a fundamentally good play-by-play.
No. You would never want that.
And I don't know if it's enjoyable to listen to for a full game.
But I do enjoy the viral clips like that one.
I've never tried it.
Being the play-by-play nerd that I am, I've tried it. It's bad. I'd rather listen to a full Gus Johnson broadcast.
He's probably not the type of guy you teach other young building.
No.
Play-by-play, be really opinionated.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you take up space with your opinion.
Make sure you inject all your emotions.
Okay. Deep breath,
in
everyone.
Josh's defense here, because I think Strofe and Will are being too hard on Josh here. Just the simple, I've seen enough football in my life, eye test. J.J. McCarthy is turbo ass. So this idea
I'm
that
not
like
disagreeing
no one's
with
saying that.
That
he's not.
But, I'm not disagreeing
so
with that.
They did not. The Packers did not perform well enough in that game against a turbo ass quarterback that you should be completely satisfied with.
McCarthy playing the offensive line.
Yeah, what do you want?
You still have to get through a good offensive line to get to said ass quarterback.
Five sacks, two interceptions. What more do you want?
I don't know if the Vikings
just as much a quarterback stat as they are an offensive line stat.
I don't know if the Vikings O line is good.
Are you going to argue that, Will?
I mean,
that would be an I don't know ball statement.
There was
so
a couple times.
Be careful
in their own end zone when Micah Parsons ran through two guys, opening up a gap for someone else to get a sack. I don't know what J.J. McCarthy could have done about that.
So when you read stats like time to throw and their sacks,
I don't read
and it's
stats.
Like
I watch the game.
Okay, well, then I know I can disregard your opinion.
The only stat I pay attention to is wins in the scoreboard. Those are the only numbers I look at.
It's going to be a long show. All right. So, all of that said, to open the show, Joshy, good to see you. Happy Wednesday. Will, good to see you. Happy Wednesday. Hunter, good to see you. Happy Wednesday. Let's do the show.
That wasn't the show?
Yeah, what?
What would we just put
on? What were the first 12 minutes?
Me trying to gauge where Josh is at today so we can get into the actual discussion, which is it's Packers-Lions today. Packers-Lions today, or excuse me, tomorrow at Ford Field. Noon kickoff, that gets delayed. I heard Wilde and Tausch very fascinated by the idea. It was delayed by half an hour by the parade in Detroit.
Which, Tausch had the right argument. It's not delayed for any parade. It's delayed so they can do more pregame and sell you more commercials and make more money. The NFL is none concerned about the Detroit Metropolitan Parade.
You are correct about that. Regardless, that's what they're chalking it up to be. That's the statement they're giving. It's a noon kickoff, which means Green Bay game day will get you started at 9 o'clock, expertly produced by our buddy Will. I will be with Gabe Neitzel, John Anderson, Brian Bulaga, Jason Wilde will join us in the 10 o'clock or for the 10 o'clock hour. Rob Domowski will join us from Detroit in the 9 o'clock hour, getting you ready for that game. You can watch that right here where you're watching Mr. Irrelevant, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube. You can listen to it on the ESPN Wisconsin app or any of our ESPN radio stations and 620 WTMJ across the state of Wisconsin. So I will flat out do this, and we're going to get to our NFL picks to end the show today and what we missed for week number 13. I did pick the Lions to win this game.
But
I will say that right now because I do think they're going to even up the season series, and I don't think it will be similar, I guess, in the reverse status of what it was 2 years ago in Detroit when Green Bay went into Ford Field and just smoked the Lions on Thanksgiving Day to kick off the NFL action of the day. I just don't think we're going to see a blowout either way. I think we're going to have a good football game, back and forth, down to the wire, and I think Detroit will ultimately prevail, but I could be wrong on that because it's, as is the theme with the entire National Football League this year, it's kind of hard to figure out what about 90% of the league is. Right. I like Detroit. I like what they have going on. I don't know that they're as good as they were a year ago. In fact, I do know they are not as good as they were a year ago. I still think they're a good football team. But watching what they did with the Giants was just strange. They couldn't handle Jameis Winston the way the Packers did. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is one of the premier backs in the league, and he proved that with over 250 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns. In Sunday's win over the Giants, overtime win over the Giants. I think 34-27 was the final in that one. So I don't really know what to make of them. I don't know what to make of their defense, despite having some premier names defensively. I think there is a clear path to win this game for Green Bay. I think there is. I do think this is a very winnable game. I think that's why the spread is so thin. It's back up to 3 points in favor of Detroit as of this morning. But I think it's a really close, good old fashioned, ready, Joshy, slobber knocker on Thanksgiving at noon.
Yikes.
Huh?
Yikes.
But there is a path to victory for both of these teams. But I will say, despite the fact that, sure, New York and Minnesota are not premier opponents in the NFL, I was impressed in the way that Matt LaFleur has responded. I'm very impressed with this Packers defense. And if they get an early lead, which they've done, they've scored on their first drive only 3 times this year. They're 2-0-1 in those games. I think there's a clear path to victory, but you got to score early. fast starts have become more important for this team, because if you're playing with a lead, you're forcing the other team to throw the football. And as we saw in week one, if you can get Jared Goff off the spot, you can rattle him, force turnovers, force mistakes, and find a way to dominate the game. So if the Packers get up early, I think they win this game. If it's a dogfight until halftime, I think it's Detroit's game to lose. That's where I'm at for tomorrow. But I do have faith in the Packers. I do agree with you in your negativity in one part. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, at least at this point. Could tomorrow change my opinion? I think tomorrow, more so than the games we've seen the last couple weeks, could change my opinion. Maybe they could be trending more that direction. But as of right now, yeah, without Tucker Kraft, I still think it's a really hard, you're going to have a really hard time winning the Super Bowl without him. So that's where I'm at. I think there's a recipe to win the game. I think it's a fast start. Let Micah Parsons in the defensive line get after Jared Goff and get him off the spot, get him out of the pocket, make him uncomfortable, and you can win this game like you did week one. But Detroit's a little bit of a different football team than they were week one. Where are you at ahead of tomorrow?
I think the spread indicates how the game's going to go. I think for the Packers to win the game, they need to be more aggressive. But I don't know how healthy Jordan Love is or if he's going to be able to sustain a more aggressive approach because of the boneheaded decision he decided to take on a tackler one-on-one, which has now led to him having a sprain handing off with his right hand no matter where the ball's going. The big key to me is if the Green Bay Packers can stop the run and instead get the Lions into a spot where they can rush the passer. Because the reason they struggled so much at different times, other than Jahmyr Gibbs taking over the game, is the Giants have a really good pass rush. Mm-hmm. And the Lions, offensive line is very bad at pass blocking. So that's a spot where the Packers would have a big opportunity to, you would see Goff, which I think we see like, probably seen more recently this year. He, like, at times looks like purely pathetic, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He needs to be in his spot, and once you move him off his spot, that's where things start to fall apart. So if they can stop the David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, the Packers will be in the game. If they struggle and they allow long, sustained drives and then don't score points in reaction, it's going to be a tough and, well, short game, but a long game for Packers fans and the Packers trying to win it. It's the same thing we've seen now for the past 4 weeks of, are the Packers going to be able to get them out of what they want to do? Teams want the Packers to run the ball, and teams want to run the ball on the Packers because they know once you let Micah Parsons start going, that's when things start to get hairy.
Sure.
Turnover opportunities happen that way. I've said for a long time, I think they need to get out to a lead. But last week, when they clearly said they're going to take the air out of the ball, they deferred the kickoff anyways. So I don't know really what the process is there. I don't know why they've done it the way they have. I think it's fine once you get a lead to keep a lead. But you need to do things to get out to leads and force teams. Because the Lions will play from behind and will keep running the ball. Hmm? They're a team that will do that.
Yeah, when you have the best 1-2 punch in the league, it helps. Yeah.
Certain teams you'll see start to... I mean, teams have gotten Matt LaFleur to do this, where even if the game's close, he starts to... This is probably a year or two ago. Like, the run game's working, but they're down by 6 points. Matt LaFleur starts like winging the ball around, and you're like, well...
Yeah, that was probably more a 2022, 2023 issue.
Yeah, we're getting 7.5 yards of crack here. Let's just keep doing this. This is working.
Yeah, that was always the you don't give Aaron Jones the ball enough argument with Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
He has not had that problem with Josh Jacobs.
Nor Emmanuel Wilson.
Not last week, definitely. But I'm curious to see, by the way, the running back situation for tomorrow. It sounds like Jacobs is going to go, but I wonder if he'll be on a pitch count of any sorts, how much Emmanuel Wilson will get sprinkled in. And just to go back to your comment on the run defense, a lot of the struggles came, and look, one man does not change the entirety of the complexion of your defense, right? Does not change the entire identity of whether or not you're a good run defense. But no Devontae Wyatt did hurt this team.
Yes.
You would agree with that.
Yes.
Now, is he the complete savior when it comes to becoming all of a sudden this great run defense? No.
No, but he...
But he certainly plays a role.
He creates enough disruption to create negative plays in the run game, which would then force teams to throw the ball.
And it's good to see he's completely off the injury report at this point. Lucas Van Ness, I don't think he's going to go on Thursday.
I have no idea.
Which, he barely played last week against Minnesota.
I don't understand what happened with their judgment of that injury. They never put him on an IR. He came back, played six snaps, and then limped off the field and is likely not going to play.
I think it was just mismanaged.
Yeah, it seems like it must have been misdiagnosed.
Maybe.
Because at this point, he's missed a significant amount of time.
Yeah, I think this will be, if he misses this week, I think this will be the fifth game of the year he's missed.
Yeah.
It kind of almost seems similar, in obviously a different way, different injury, but seems similar to the Brandon McManus situation, where you're just kind of mismanaging and misdiagnosing the timeline for this injury, and re-aggravation is more likely than maybe you thought. So we'll see on Van Ness. So defensively, though, you've got a lot of question marks for tomorrow. Van Ness being one of them, Carl Brooks another. Both linebackers are questionable for tomorrow's game. Edgerton Cooper and Quay Walker, who missed Sunday's game against Minnesota, is questionable still. Keyshawn Nixon had a stinger, and on a short week, not great in terms of a timeline. So we will see if he goes. Javon Bullard is on the injury report. You might get Nate Hobbs back, but how much do you even want to see Nate Hobbs? That's another question.
How much we want to see them and how much the Packers want to see him
could be
two totally different answers. Different
answers. So we'll see defensively. Offensive line-wise, it sounds like Anthony Belton will get the full go at right guard. That's positive news.
Where did I miss something?
Matt LaFleur effectively said, we'll see if he'll start, but it sounds like he's walking back a little bit the idea of a rotation in his press conference yesterday. So could get my wish there. My Thanksgiving wish.
I don't have as much confidence on that. I think it's the right move.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to take a couple more times of Jordan Morgan whiffing for it to finally stick in. But they've stuck with the rotation things for now the third season in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to say, hey, Jordan Morgan, you're our swing tackle, and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I do too. But will that be the case? We will all find out together.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a long time to figure out Evan Williams shouldn't come off the field. It took him a long time to figure out Carrington Valentine shouldn't come off the field.
Yeah, as much as I give you a hard time for being negative, I think your line of the year so far is the Packers always make it harder on themselves.
Always. And I understand some of the mentality behind it, but things change when you go from youngest team in the league, we're just kind of figuring out what we got here, to we traded for Michael Parsons, we have Super Bowl aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say it's title town, I get it, that you always have, but the team is materially different than it was 2 years ago, and materially different from a year ago.
Yeah.
And the expectations are tenfold what they were the past 2 years.
Have those come down at all?
I mean, no.
For you, they have, obviously, but I'm saying in general.
In terms of what I think will happen, yes, I thought they could have, after the first two games, I thought this team, it's Super Bowl or bust, and I'd be surprised if they aren't like in an NFC championship game. But the results on the field have made me change my opinion. But I still think it would be drastically underachieving to not be in one of the final four teams competing for a Super Bowl.
Even without Tucker Kraft.
Yes, I think there's enough talent on the field.
So I guess all that said, what will it take for you to get there? Get back there, I should say. Because I think after the first 2 weeks, everybody was riding so high with what this team was capable of. We thought Washington was much more of a real threat when they played them in week two, Cheeks. Obviously. Yeah, they're really bad. And obviously Jaden Daniels has been hurt, but he hasn't been good when he's been healthy. That offense,
it's almost like Josh
healthy.
Was
Everybody's
right
hurt.
Again with the age of the Commanders.
I don't even know what I was right about this time.
They said the age of the Commanders,
yeah.
And they're too old.
I've been saying that for 2 years. Like, this team is, and it happened where they finally all the injuries hit, and they, I mean, their head coach was saying we're too slow, and it's like, well, it's kind of late.
Yeah.
The fast guys are on teams already.
Well, and the fast guys are the guys they have that they like their speed are all hurt.
Yes.
Terry McLaurin can't stay healthy. Deebo Samuel was hurt for a while. Jaden Daniels obviously has great speed. He's been hurt. I mean, that team is a disaster. But granted, week two, when they played them, though, they were still the hot team. They were off the NFC Championship game. Everybody thought, okay, maybe that's a team that can really challenge the Eagles for the NFC East. It turns out they're challenging nobody for anything except fourth place in the NFC East.
What would change my expectations would be winning against the Lions, winning against the Broncos, and winning against the Ravens. That, so, to me,
all
would
three?
Be... You could go 2 out of 3.
Okay.
I think there's a real chance they go 0-3.
I noticed he didn't mention a team there, Will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bears aren't real.
That's fine.
I'm not playing this game. The Packers might lose to them, and I think they have a very good chance to split the series, but I don't think they're like a real team.
I don't think they're a real contender.
Come playoff time.
I also think you could just chalk that up to it being the NFC North, and weird stuff always happens.
Like,
in the
they're
NFC
probably
going to
split. It's going to be a home team wins.
Yeah.
Like
home
it was last year.
Yeah.
Or I mean, the opposite
was,
of last year.
Reverse of last year. But I get your point regardless. I'm not going to call the Bears real. I do buy Ben Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I both said, don't like him going there.
No, that was bad for everybody.
When you look at them on paper, they're really not a great team. And the fact that they're 8-3 right now is remarkable.
With a negative point differential, which is bizarre.
Like whether or not who they've played, a lot of backup quarterbacks is bad or whatever. Like the fact that they have managed to not Bears it up for 8 games is impressive.
Yeah. And look, are any of the wins super impressive? Not really.
What the Raiders? They went on the road and blocked a field goal.
Good pop. None of the wins are super impressive, but at the end of the day, they're 8-3, man. Like, it's hard to argue with results. And
right.
But we did this a few years ago with Minnesota when they lost to Danny Dimes and the Giants.
We all saw it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels like that is this year's version of it. Now, come the near future, I'm a little concerned about what the Bears could be. I'll just say that.
Friday will tell us a lot about what they are. I think they're a different team than when they played the Lions in week
two. But here's the thing, Will. I don't know what to make of Philly.
Yeah, Philly might be imploding.
I don't know if
their offense is
that good. At home, it might be the implosion we thought was happening last year, just a year delayed.
I don't know what to make of Philly. The only team I think we can all agree on that we think is a legitimate contender in the NFC is the Los Angeles Rams. End of story.
Seahawks. I would gladly throw the Seahawks in there.
Jonathan Brust, who is apparently listening, didn't know he was a Mr. Relevant fan. Bears are real. Get over it.
Thanks,
thank
JB.
You, JB. Love you.
Seahawks, the defense is good. They've got, obviously, JSN is the best player in football this year. I have a hard time really picking anybody else.
The Seahawks strategy is just get up by 30 points in the first quarter and then let the other team slowly come back, but not give them enough time.
Imagine being Ryan Grubb, the guy who was in control of the offense, and when JSN was asked, like, what do you want to say to the... And he didn't want to say anything. I mean, yeah, you can progress and get better, but to go from what he was last year to this year with not real material change at quarterback, like, both those guys are probably playing at a similar level.
Geno and Donald, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, Geno in Seattle, specifically.
Yes, correct. Yeah, he's been terrible this year.
Awful.
But the way his game has improved and the way he's like coasting to a yards title this year. It seems easy. We were talking, because Will put him in our touchdown bet. And I was like, well, he's got to do it early because usually they get out to, and then it was just second drive, 63-yard touchdown.
Did it in 2 seconds.
it's like... Everyone knows
he's been awesome for that.
Everyone knows that's their whole offense, and he's still getting open. That's like the mark of a
great receiver.
Yes,
yeah, and he's definitely become that for them this year. So we'll see on Seattle. I would lean probably more towards the I agree with you than I disagree with you strongly because they've proven it.
I'm just never going to believe Sam Darnold until I have to.
That's where I get hung up as well.
But like the game, he threw 4 interceptions. They still had a chance.
I know.
They had a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, 60-yard field goal.
Incredible.
Right. The team can keep them afloat. I don't think he can win more than a playoff game in the playoffs.
Yeah, if the game is left up to him to win,
he ain't going to do it.
That's well put.
So, but other than those two, anybody else in the NFC where you go, I buy them?
No. No.
That's bizarre at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
What if...
Yeah, I think I think we'd be having a very different conversation if the Niners were healthy.
Well, and Philly didn't implode. But yeah. You could have Detroit doesn't look as good as they've been the last 2 years, right? I mean, there's
Malik Nabers doesn't go down, the Giants.
That's Cam Scadaboo as well. Yeah. Don't forget him.
Do you think Jackson Dart's going to learn to not dive headfirst into people?
No.
I hope so. Isn't that what him and Gruden talked about? And he's like, I just love contact.
Yeah.
He's like, I refuse to slide.
Go ahead, Hunter.
What if the Cowboys beat both the Chiefs and the Lions here for their next two games?
I'm buying all the Cowboys stock right now.
I mean, I'm all in on Dak.
Yeah.
All of his doubters are silenced this year. He's had a terrific year.
The defense, too, has been stepping up.
Yeah.
Ever since they made those acquisitions at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they went all in.
You kind of look at it on paper, you're like, man.
Who'd you say the two opponents were?
They've got the Chiefs on Thursday and then the Lions on Amazon Prime next week Thursday.
I think...
If they go 2-0, we can certainly have a conversation.
I mean, if they lose this week, aren't they effectively done?
It becomes much more difficult. They have to win this one, then things, they could have another loss in there. But that's what I'm saying.
That's a really intriguing... Thanksgiving's kind of fun this year.
I mean, it's probably the best year ever.
Yeah.
I mean, last year, didn't we get Cooper Rush?
Yes, we did.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was Packers-Dolphins, which was a blowout at night. The night game this year is who? Bengals and who? Bengals-Ravens? Is that right?
Yes. I think so.
We'll talk about that more in one word as back. Well.
Okay, great. I mean, it's an interesting Thanksgiving. It's a really interesting Thanksgiving slate. And that Cowboys-Chiefs game has just got fascinating written all over it because it's two teams that... really desperately need a win.
Playing for their life.
I might bet under parlay of all three games. Very high totals, I believe. The Packers were over 50. I don't know if they still are. They're near it. The Chiefs, despite you thinking, oh, they might have turned around
offense, just say,
they make everything ugly.
It seems like Thanksgiving we get like a ridiculous wide receiver number every year. Like somebody has three touchdowns on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, last year was it CeeDee Lamb or was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago?
I remember Amari Cooper years ago having just the most unbelievable game that he's ever had on Thanksgiving.
Didn't CeeDee Lamb have like a 99-yard touchdown 2 years ago?
That would make sense.
Remember when Mike White threw the 99-yard interception, pick six?
Yeah.
That was awesome. The Mike White Thanksgiving game gets forgotten about.
Mike chimes in and says, whichever team loses between Chiefs and Cowboys done for the year, which is probably right.
Yeah, I think they would both need things to go right for them to have.
And you need some breaks on top of winning a lot from that point forward.
Yeah.
Quick Packers update. Wide receiver Will Shepard has been signed from the practice squad.
Do you think Kyle knows we're doing a program?
No, I wasn't sure he was talking about that disgusting ham that he was... did y'all talk about the ham yet?
Not yet.
He tried to bring it up and then we embarrassed him, but it's on the docket. Do you want to join us for it? We can talk about it right now.
I'm more than happy to join y'all whenever y'all want to talk about this riveting ham Alex Stroph is going to cook tomorrow for his 81-year-old grandpa.
So I described it as when Alex Stroph does something, it becomes a disruption in the office because he has to tell everyone.
But the disruption is because everything he does is just bad. Like, there's something wrong with everything. He can't even cook ham without becoming the topic of conversation because he's just not normal. There's nothing he did. He had
something wrong with that boy?
Something wrong with him. He had some of the ingredients. He just takes things too far. The Dijon mustard, yellow. I seen the ingredients.
Yellow mustard. Where are you getting yellow mustard?
I seen your little cheat sheet. Yellow. It said Dijon or yellow mustard.
So we make a ham every holiday. There's two ingredients. There's pineapple juice with the pineapple we put on it and brown sugar.
Yeah.
And then you slow cook it. All you need.
You can do that too.
All you need.
Only advice I have for you, Stroph, because we talked about it on Truth to Power. Make sure you get the cloves. You got to get the little black cloves. Make sure, because I know
Stick
you ain't
them
never.
In there?
Yeah, you got to see. Uh-huh. He didn't
I
know that.
Find them.
See, that's
it was on my list.
Because he ain't a real Chef Boyardee. He's Chef Boyardee.
They got cloves. They got cloves.
Chef Boyardee.
Don't worry, Stroph.
Y'all have a good one.
You'll learn to cook one day.
Yeah.
What a dynamite drop in that was.
So what is your ham recipe that has everyone so upset?
I don't know, Josh. I'll tell you the recipe, but I don't know why it's making everybody so upset. I think it's the idea that I'm using orange juice instead of pineapple juice.
That's interesting.
But it's not unheard of, Josh.
I don't think it's unheard of. I think it's untraditional, and the acidity differences might taste...
I mean... I wouldn't say pineapple juice is acidic.
Yeah,
it is not.
Yes.
It's a little more. I would
I think they have
similar properties, but they are different.
It's definitely acidic.
I'm pretty sure pineapple is more acidic than orange juice, so like you're not going to get the same level of like the ham taking that in the same way.
So
I'm going to look that up.
So though. I found this recipe, and I thought it sounded really interesting.
Is it?
And it specifically said it's more like Thanksgiving coated than like your normal pineapple ham. So it's for the base of the pan I'm baking it in. It is going to be half orange juice, half water, and it'll just be a little bit of each, like a half cup or a cup of each. I'm using a pretty deep pan, so just to make sure there's some involved. And then the glaze is just a little bit of orange juice, a little bit of maple syrup, a little bit of Dijon mustard, a little bit of honey, and you mix that all together, and voila.
It sounds a little more like a smoker recipe.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. Kyle was blown away by this, and I didn't think it was that crazy.
The orange juice is odd.
Well,
I'm trying to imagine a ham with orange juice.
I think so. I've got two things here. One, I was incorrect. Orange juice is slightly more acidic than pineapple juice by 0.1. So they're basically the same.
So it's right. The same thing.
Yeah, they're the same thing.
But it's not.
But they're basically the same thing. I think the second one is this is the first time you're cooking ham in any capacity in your life, correct?
No, but to this size, yes. So it's an 8.5 pound ham. It's an 8.5 pound spiral ham.
You got to keep it simple, stupid. I think you're overdoing it for your first time trying to cook a legit ham. You just got to go basic ingredients, keep it basic. There's less to mess up then and less that can go wrong. You got to run the wing tee. You're trying to run an air raid offense right now, pal. You got to run the wing tee. Let's just get the basics down here first.
The wing tee sounds vastly more complex.
Our family's made the same recipe for a long time, and it's literally just you rub the full thing in brown sugar. Well, first you pour on the pineapple juice over it. Then you rub it with brown sugar. You cook it low and slow for like 6 hours.
Okay, I could do that.
And all you do is take it out every 2 hours, baste it with the juices.
So I'll just say this. This ball game is not over. I haven't made the ham yet. So I can pivot, but I'd be curious if people on the YouTube chat at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison have done orange juice, or if I'm just completely bizarro world.
I would want to try that before I debuted it for a party.
Okay.
The result, there's a chance you get the desired result and it's just not that good and nobody really likes it. That's my main concern.
And that'd be my nightmare.
I hope that doesn't happen. Just want to put that.
Thanks, Will.
I hope everyone doesn't hate it.
I hope everybody's like, this is the best ham I've ever had.
The ham we make, despite being incredibly simple, people are always overwhelmed.
So and it's just pineapple juice and brown sugar.
Brown sugar. That's it. And you rotate it, you baste it. You put it back in low and slow. I believe it was 200 degrees. I just made it on Saturday.
Okay.
And then you want it to caramelize the edges. You rip some of those off. If you want to get fancy, I've done this before. We don't do it all the time. But in each layer, you can get, if you peel back, get some pineapple juice in there with brown sugar. Then you're coating the whole thing and you're cooking with gas.
Okay. So I might have to pivot because it seems like everybody I bring this up to is doubting me.
Now, there is one
And that makes me nervous. If I had support and everybody was like, wow, that sounds really good, Strofe, I wouldn't even worry about it. But now I'm worried about it.
I think I'm a little concerned, too. That's the type of thing where I'd see it on a menu and be like, I trust a professional chef. But if it's just, your neighbor or your crazy Uncle Alex... The results might be mixed.
Jonathan Brush chimes in. You know the answer. You're bizarre. Ron in the Key chimes in. Quick question. What's everyone's heart rate at?
I'm checking. I don't have
Mad City Brew, very kind. Best of luck, Strofe cooking for everyone. I appreciate that. I've got the mashed potatoes part down. I bought 4 pounds of potatoes last night. I'm ready to rock and roll there. I bought an 8-pound ham. And there's only going to be like 6 adults there. I think that should be plenty.
I'm at 65 beats per minute, Ron.
You're perfectly healthy. Very fit.
Ron said hashtag very fit.
So we will see. But I guess if I was taking a vote here, everybody's voting for me to pivot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Josh, do you use light brown or dark brown sugar? Because those can also have different results here.
We use the standard cooking brown sugar that would be in your house. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I just have a bag of it, so I don't know.
I've never ventured into the
lights and darks.
To me, the difference would just be the amount of maple syrup in it, correct?
Yeah.
So you use maple syrup as well as brown sugar?
No, you brown don't. Sugar is sugar with maple syrup.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
But my recipe calls for additional maple syrup. Not a lot. I think it's like a tablespoon.
And does it have also brown sugar as part of it?
Yes. Half a cup.
Because the darker brown, it's going to get a little more sticky. So that's why I was curious.
Dan the man, Will's father, chimes in. I am in charge of cooking the turkeys, plural. God help our guests.
Good thing I'll be there late, so I'll know if everyone hates it and it's not good.
Your dad a good cook, typically?
Yeah, he actually does cook a lot.
Huh?
Yeah, I trust him.
You think he would outdo me in ham wars?
Probably. He's a little more seasoned than you. Pun intended.
Huh. Well, what I'm going to do as soon as the show ends is look up like a classic Thanksgiving ham recipe, and I'm going to start over.
Good.
I think I've been bullied into it. Now, here's the thing with me, all right?
Oh, here's the thing.
Joshy, I think of all people on the panel, or Hunter, Will, sorry, you're going to be discluded from this because you haven't worked with me nearly as long as these guys. I am often the target of bullying. And we refer to that colloquially of healthy bullying.
You didn't have to outsource that.
I think you bring a lot on yourself.
Well, that I'm not arguing with that.
Okay.
But I will say, I do believe that more so than the average human, the average bird, I'm willing to admit when something has gone terribly wrong and I will change my ways. I think I'm good about that. Yes? No? Joshy?
Sure.
You picked up your phone, so that made me nervous.
Yeah, it's technical things.
Again?
Yes. It's my life.
Boss Josh.
I am not texting for leisure. I'm texting for business.
All right. Hunter?
Yes, but I also think there's times where you go into things, I think, knowing you're going to get a response from people. Like, I choose to believe that you are smart enough to know. I'm holding out hope that you're smart enough to know in advance, but you just save it for the content and on air because you understand that a lot of this is very funny.
All right, I'm glad we discussed this. I will follow up with what exactly has gone wrong. But it is time now to play a little One Word Wednesday. On this Wednesday, Hunter's got, I think, more or so a list of games today because this is a Wednesday edition. I'm going to do a Friday solo show, I believe, unless Joshy is willing to join me to react to the Packers game that you'll be able to find on YouTube as well as the podcast feed, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, or excuse me, ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just like, I think I'm going to do like a 20-minute quick react to Packers Lions.
I do have to say something here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've now looked at two of the most basic recipes, and both of them mention orange juice. That's interesting.
So maybe I shouldn't have it.
Is it interesting?
Yes, it's interesting in terms of the universal recipe I always see involves pineapple.
I agree with that.
And I don't know if this is like an two Americas type thing, and we moved past the orange juice, which used to be more prevalent. I don't know the difference now.
So you're saying maybe I shouldn't pivot?
I would, yes. I would just because you're going into a spot where people are thinking ham and they know what to expect.
But what if I blow their socks off?
I don't think the recipe, after hearing your recipe, is going to do much more than be at least the same as the one we all talk about.
Okay. I got to sit down and figure this out. I'm getting nervous. I'm nervous. Okay. It's fine. I think everything will go well. I will give everybody an update on Wednesday's edition of Mr. Relevant. All right. Let's get into One Word Wednesday. Hunter has a list of topics/games/things going on over the course of the next few days. Joshy and I will respond with one word to these very topics that Hunter is going to lay out for us. Hunter, take it away.
All right. We're going to go through some of the games through the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll start with Chiefs Cowboys at 3:30 on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my old style and do a little hyphenated word here. Do or die in hyphens. Do or die for this one. Josh, are you going to allow that one?
Sure.
This dates back to, by the way, like a year ago when you were still sitting in the control room and you would just groundhog it.
Uh-huh.
You would interrupt when I said something you didn't like. Do or die in hyphens for Chiefs Cowboys. Very intriguing game tomorrow.
Mine's going to be defense. If Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs are able to slow down the passing attack for the Cowboys are going to have a real difficult time winning the game. And then same applies for the Chiefs, who sometimes, except for when it comes down to the absolute like the way they couldn't move the ball through the air. Well, actually, they refused to. Yeah. They were losing the entire game against the Colts, and they had more runs than passes.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, hey, we should probably try and score some more points a little quicker here. And they dug themselves a big hole and were able to get out of it and actually win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's a consistent recipe for success.
I would agree.
So if they can get it to Travis Kelce, who I think is honestly like playing his best ball in a long time.
Yeah, he is.
He's like separating from people. He's breaking he wasn't doing that a year ago.
He does look revitalized, but I would assume this is his final season.
Yes. Yes. You would certainly hope.
Yeah, the way he's been talking, it seems like it.
Yeah. But to me, it seems like they are going to... if they can get the passing game going and sort of slow down the Pickens and CeeDee Lamb thing, I think they're going to have a real hard time keeping up.
All right, Will has rejoined us. Will, one word for Chiefs Cowboys tomorrow.
Dem. We dem boys. I think the Cowboys are going to win. Just saw on the injury report.
Hunter!
Trey Smith, Noah Gray. I don't know who this guy is. Chris Roland Wallace, all out for the for the Chiefs. So.
That'll really swing it.
I was waiting to
Noah Gray.
Pack up tight ends up playing, Joshy.
I was eagerly awaiting the injury report for CRW Chris Roland Wallace to figure out. But yeah, I'm
what position
pick the Cowboys.
Does he play?
Cornerback.
Oh, okay.
I love the Cowboys. I think every time I look at the roster, I start thinking more and more that they might be able to make a deep playoff run. I think they can do it,
they're
and
not.
They feel that their backs are up against the wall. Don't tell me what to think, Hunter.
Wow.
You're right, because I haven't
Lamb
seen this
Pickens,
franchise
so
for
fun
30
to watch.
Years. My word is catch.
We all know how this goes.
Catch. Why catch?
Because if CeeDee Lamb can catch the ball consistently, their offense is going to be incredible. If he gets a case of the dropsies, which he's had a few games, the offense really struggles.
Yeah, that's fair. And we have seen that a few times this year, right about that. All right, what's next?
Bengals-Ravens, 7:20 on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the word's Burrow. I'm intrigued to see what Joe Burrow looks like in his return game. He'll play for the Bengals for the first time, since week two, I think? In this one, it might have been earlier than that. So big one for him. But the Bengals might already be out of it, is the thing. They're 3-8.
They think they're still in it, which is because the Ravens started so badly and the Steelers can't stop losing.
Yeah.
So they technically
are
still in it.
The division's disgusting this year.
Yeah. I mean, Lamar's just clearly hurt. He can't make anybody miss. He's had like two runs over 10 yards all season. He's not the same guy, but the Ravens keep winning because their defense improved. It seems to me that the Ravens are just going to win it, and Joe Burrow is going to waste his time coming back, and then he's going to get shelved again for the rest of the season. So, Joe Burrow. Burrow. Burr. That's my word.
My word is Jamar. I know he had his suspension, so I'm just interested to see if he learned his lesson and won't spit on anybody.
Will's on fire right now. I gotta give him credit. We're crying.
You should have just gone spit.
No, because then you would have known where I was going.
Okay.
Right away.
I had to tease it a little bit.
It's chess, not checkers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My word is enemy. I think the Bengals are their own worst enemy. They need to just lose games this year and get draft capital. But
yes.
Joe Burrow's going to win them a few games, and all of a sudden they're going to go from a top 10 pick to into the teens. And they're going to miss out on a position that they desperately need in the draft. And that's without even knowing who's going to be in the draft, because that's just what the Bengals have done the last, this will be now 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Joe Burrow starts getting held accountable for the way things are going with that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He demanded the team pay Jamar, T. Higgins, and Mike Gesicki. And then they looked around and realized we don't have any money.
We can't protect you.
So, yeah, it's... they've done everything to keep him happy and acquiesce to his demands. And I think if he were, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, you would justify it a little bit more. But what is it now? 4 years where he and his team has just totally underdelivered?
Yeah. Since they made it to the Super
and
Bowl.
Yeah, he's not staying healthy, but he also has a factor to play in that.
They went to the 2021 season Super Bowl, the 2022 yes. Super Bowl. It's just been gross since that he's been hurt.
Jake Browning took him to a playoff game.
That's true.
Josh used the word there, and I'm just preparing everyone.
Acquiesce?
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
He uses that word all the time.
I just tried spelling it, and I used... I've never seen this assortment of letters next to each other.
A couple more, Hunter.
The way they're arranged is foreign to you.
Bears-Eagles on Black Friday at 2 p.m.
Contenders.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. Curiosity? I don't really know what to make of either of them, despite both being 8-3. Curiosity, my word.
Caleb. Be interesting to see what the Eagles defense does to him and how he looks and how he's able to survive. He's not been very good if you crunch the numbers, but he's been able to get them to wins and pull out some rabbits out of his hat. I think that becomes even more difficult against a defense like whatever you want about the Eagles offense, it's a disaster. That defense is like levels above ones in the past, and they're able to create a lot of havoc.
I like the word havoc.
My word just implode.
Contenders already.
The Eagles, I think, are about ready to fully implode here.
That's what makes it interesting. Is it feels like it's coming. Is it this week that it happens or not?
Fair.
I think last week was the perfect lead-in to an implosion. 21-point blown lead.
And then it'll just be funny to troll Eagles fans about the fact that Dak and Caleb Williams broke their franchise. Moving on to college football on Black Friday. Number 3, Texas A&M at number 16, Texas. Kickoff's at 6:30 for that one.
Horns. Must win for them.
Arch.
South. I went to Oklahoma this past weekend. It was awesome. The SEC, it really does mean more. I have nothing else to contribute to that game.
I don't ever want good things to happen to Texas A&M.
I thought he was going to say Will. I got to be honest. No. And I was like, whoa.
No, Texas A&M. No,
Josh would love Norman, Oklahoma.
Their whole yell leaders.
It's a cult.
That whole, the whole weird. Yeah. I don't like it. The rings they all wear. Something weird going on there.
Yeah, College Station's a weird place.
And is that the college where you get the ring and it's like really? That might be Clemson, which is like a whole other thing. Where
he just pulled a Strouf.
He just pulled a Strouf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh literally just said that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I said the ring's weird.
I thought you were saying Texas A&M.
It makes me so proud of you.
I thought you said Texas A&M gets rings too, which I think they might.
I'm so proud of you.
Texas A&M does get rings.
No, I'm thinking. Oh yeah.
You're thinking A&M.
Texas State does too, and they like do this weird thing where you jump in a fountain.
Are they the Bobcats?
They are the Bobcats.
One last one.
Work with a Texas State alum. Huh. Andrew Zimmel, 101.7 The Truth, Texas State alum.
Oh. Final one, Wisconsin at Minnesota, the Battle of Paul Bunyan's Axe, 2:30.
Believer is my word. I think Wisconsin's going to win.
Oh, jeez.
I'm in.
Where's the game at?
Minnesota.
I literally said Wisconsin at Minnesota.
Where are you?
Then I think Wisconsin loses. They only win in Storm the Field at home.
This segment is called One Word, Will.
Storm. Storm is my word.
Yeah. The Badgers are going to need the boat.
I got one. Fleck. Stupid tie he wears and his sunglasses when it's cloudy or dark out.
Fleck v. Fick.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that does it for One Word. What a disaster that was. It's time now for What We Missed and our picks, which are brought to you by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. It's Thanksgiving. If you're stopping at the store tonight, make sure you pick up maybe some bourbon for your old fashions or the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery, available all over the state. Cherry vodka also available. Elevate your cocktail at your Thanksgiving with Door County Distillery. Just make good choices or decent choices at your Thanksgiving and enjoy Some family time and some Door County Distillery time this weekend. Visit their website, doorcountydistillery.com, for more information. All right, we need an update on the standings, which I believe I'm the only one that did not go 2-0 last week. I picked the Steelers thinking Aaron Rodgers would play in Chicago, and he did not. Mason Rudolph couldn't quite get it done. Yes, he was scared. You're so right. So where are we at record-wise?
It's a tight race. We got me, Strofe, and Hunter are tied in first place at 13-10-1, and Josh is in second place, technically, but he's only one game behind at 12-11-1.
Wow. Tight race here as we enter week 13 in the NFL. It's just going to be a massive slumber party at Will's for wild card weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, and I just got two more TVs, so we'd be set. Everyone can watch what they want.
All right, let's start with you, Josh.
I can still go to Costco, Packers, too.
Let's start with your underdog pick before we get to Packers, Lions, Joshy.
I kind of hate this one, but I'm going to make it. I'm picking the Texans over the Colts.
Okay. I actually don't hate that at all, to be real honest with you. Not that that should make you feel a whole lot better, but I am in first place and you're not.
I was looking at that one, too.
There's from Thanksgiving, there aren't very many good games.
I'm going Thanksgiving, for the record. All right, let's go to Hunter next. Or no, hold on. Packers, Lions. You need to pick that.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
Lions.
Okay, so Lions and Texans for Joshy DiMaggio. Let's go to Hunter next.
I'm going to run back my picks from last week. I'm going to go Cowboys for the underdog, and I'm going to take the Packers.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
All right. That's fun. I like that.
Easy work for Will back there. He doesn't have to change any of the logos.
That's very
good. Well, I deleted all of them. So.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Great.
That actually makes me giggle.
And I was going to pick the Cowboys, but I don't want to do because we had the exact same picks last week. So I have to reimagine this. All right. I got it.
I mean, at this point, it's smart to differentiate
it
with
is.
How tight everyone
it is. Yeah.
I want the Packers and I want the Jets at home against the Falcons.
Woof.
Like I said, I've been saying it all year. Falcons. They could either be the best team in the NFL or the worst team in the NFL on any given week, and I'm just betting that they'll be the worst team this week.
Damn it, call me a Joe Burrow believer. I've got the Bengals over the Ravens as my underdog pick. They are 7-point dogs in Baltimore.
Seven.
This is the most Strofe pick of all time.
They're going to lose by 30.
They're going to lose by it's going to be like a 4-score game.
Take it swings, baby. Take it swings.
And
yes, I'm going to pick the Lions. I'm going to pick the Lions.
That's not positive enough.
Yeah, Mister. We need to have an entire segment about how Josh isn't positive enough, and then I'm going to take the Lions.
I skipped the positivity portion. It was more so like a positivity audit. I was going to do a positivity portion of the program and force Josh to only say nice things about the Packers, but I'm a nice guy, and Josh can be thankful for me this Thanksgiving.
You did do that with the Brewers one time, same format.
I did. Yeah, that's in fact what I was. I was going to do the same exact thing. So we were going to do a positivity circle on the Packers. But
hey,
we'll save it.
Yeah, I'll be positive. If you can get the other team to commit special teams mistakes that you somehow managed not to commit, you got a better chance of winning.
They won 23-6.
If the quarterback...
They won on the opening drive of the game.
If the quarterback would have been better throwing every pass into the dirt, you got a good chance to win the game. If you could just recreate that for the rest of the season, I bet there's going to be a lot of dubs on the scoreboard.
All right, well, what'd you miss?
All right, this one's a doozy. Aquarius?
Aquarius was basically what he said there.
Okay, wait. Is it Aquarius?
No.
Aquarius. Can you tell me again? I gotta re-spell it then, because whatever I wrote.
How'd you spell it?
A Q.
No.
There's a K.
W-E-Y-E-S.
What are you doing?
Okay, now sound it out. Sound it out the way you spelled it.
Sound it out?
Yeah, the way you spelled it, spell it. Sound it out.
Aquies.
Yes, that is the correct way to pronounce it.
I might have gotten the phonetic spelling right.
Yeah, you got the phonetic right. Uh-huh. Well, the phonetic spelling
is ACQ.
It is ACQ.
Yes. Yep.
That was the other one I had, so.
Okay. Now, what does it mean when someone acquiesces?
You meet or agree?
He Googled it.
No, I didn't.
I was going to say, isn't it more of giving in?
I just have the sentence.
Without protest. It's accept something without protest.
Acquiesce to his demands.
Acquiesce.
Acquiesce to his demands. So I said meeting or agreeing
to. The age of acquiesce.
I will give you a pass on the definition. I'm giving you a total flunk on the pronunciation.
Ak, we, and writing it down. Oui, yes.
Oui. It's A-C-Q-U-I-E-S-C-E.
Dang, that was the other one I wrote down. Would have been perfectly right.
So close.
Yes. I just chose the wrong one.
Have you used it in a sentence yet?
Wait, did I get the definition right? Meeting or agreeing to, yeah.
I just told you, it's accept something without protest.
It's a bad brain day for Will.
Yeah, he's not.
Will's on the struggle bus.
Something without protest.
Why are you writing it down?
So I can remember it.
What is that doing for us?
It's helping me.
Will, we need you. We need a sentence with acquiesce in it to send us into the Thanksgiving holiday.
Is it a noun or a verb?
It's a verb.
Is it actually?
Yes.
What's the country of origin? Is that your next question?
He acquiesced to the contract agreement.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Hello, slad.
Air horn hunter. You know the drill.
He just basically replaced it with
the green. What are you doing?
Crossed his finger.
When Will struggles, I think I'm going to go to the what are you doing with this.
I like that.
Air horn, if he crushes it, what are you doing if it's wrong?
And you got the sentence right against all odds, so I think that
it's worthy of an air horn.
Yeah, that's worthy.
I mean, that is an all-time.
I basically just had five pianos on my back in the at 90 degrees with my legs and squatted it.
What a strange.
I got
analogy.
Up.
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about really something real quick before we go? And I know we're running late, but it's a holiday. It's fine. What'd you do last night?
I went to a free Pilates class.
Oh, I saw your TikTok, or at least that you did that. I didn't watch anymore. How'd that go?
So Will was going to start this series, which I told him. I think it'll go massively viral at some point. It's called Squilliam Sunday on TikTok. You can look it up. Where he's going to try something new. He originally was going to do it every Sunday. I think it's just every week now he's going to do something new. Because Sundays are long.
I got to figure out a new name. So if you got any recommendations.
How about William Wednesday?
We'll try something new.
I can't limit it to one day.
Does. Okay, then
never know what I'm going to be doing.
Squilliam does. Yeah, that's
I can
idea.
Do that.
Yeah. Anyway, so you tried Pilates for the first time last night.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
why?
Yeah. Well, he had free,
I had a free class.
He had free class.
Correct. But what?
Why?
What led you to getting
how did you
free
get a
class
free class?
Right. I don't have a free class of Pilates lying around.
Well, there's like a studio, so it was like I walked past it and it was like free class. If you, I don't know, just go log in or whatever, like your first class is free. You
and
don't have to sign up for anything.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I didn't enjoy the Pilates, but I enjoyed that it was in like a sauna. So I was like,
you
I was
hot.
I was sweating. Like, I didn't know your legs could sweat.
Wait,
that
this
much.
Is hot Pilates?
Yeah. It was like 125 degrees.
No, jeez, thank you.
I was dying, but I liked it. I felt good after.
Will you be returning?
Yeah, I bought a membership.
They suckered you. They dummied you.
6-month member. But they have other things there. They
what
have
are
like
you
bikes
doing?
That you can do in the sauna. They got weights. They got punching bags that I put Strofe's face on. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, they got everything. I got suckered
joke.
Though.
So
they also gave me a towel and a mat. So who's really the sucker here?
Wait, so do you get to keep the towel and the mat?
Believe it. Better believe it.
Are all the classes now free to for you to attend, or with your membership, do you then have to pay per?
No, it's free. You just like sign up on your phone.
Let's set the over under.
I've already. I went this morning, so I did two this morning.
Okay. Well, what I was going to do something very important.
Okay.
Oh boy.
In 3 months, what do we think Will's weekly over under is going to be of attendance at this?
Oh, it's. 0.5. Yeah. And that might even be high.
You see
like
that?
Per week?
Yeah.
Keep see, doubting.
Hear these doubters?
I'm at least going to go once.
So, Josh, you're betting the over?
I think if we keep bringing it up, yes, he'll smash the over.
Well, here's the thing. I
don't want to stick it to us.
I do like to exercise. Like, this isn't like a.
Not every.
You got to drag me out of the house.
So, he's done some dumb things for Squilliam Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, he tried sushi once. I don't really care about that on this show. It's good for your TikTok feed. But something like this, when you take a big swing.
How about if the Packers lose, you got to come do Pilates with me? I have a guest pass.
To the Lions or to the Bears?
To the Bears.
Ooh, I like
will
that.
Soft agree on that, and I will rebut on Monday it with sucks. What you need to do.
Do you think
it sucks?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm never going to do the Pilates one again.
Here's an issue. Do we think this poses a health threat to him in specific? Pilates does take coordination.
They do give. Yeah, I felt like very uncool.
Yeah,
like
I've seen people do it. I've seen professional athletes do it and go, "Wow, that."
So hold
looks
on,
tough.
What do you do during Pilates?
I was watching the video.
What can I do right now that would be similar?
There's like modified movements that they give you if you can't do it, and that's what I was doing the entire time.
So give me a movement, and then we'll go to the modified movement.
I mean, you have to be like laying on the ground.
Oh, okay, yeah. Never mind. We'll
yeah, it doesn't
on that
play
again.
Well on video.
Yeah. All right, I will agree. If the Bears beat the Packers on December 7th, then I will go to Pilates.
You can sign up for a free one. You don't even have to pay.
Or I know.
I just want to bring a guest. I think I get some points for that, too. And I get entered in a raffle for a gift card. Yeah, I'm fully bought in.
He's a Pilates guy.
It's not just Pilates. No. There's bikes.
If
there's
the Packers beat the Bears, I will come up with something for Monday that we will have you either agree or disagree to. That work?
Okay. Yeah. You don't even have to come up with one.
All right. Make it a good Thanksgiving. Packers Lions coming up at noon. Green Bay game day starts tonight. Also, we had a question earlier in the chat if the Third Street Market Hall will be playing the Bucks game tonight.
Sure will.
And Joshy will be there with our friends from Michelob Ultra. So if you want to drink an Ultra, watch the Bucks Heat NBA Cup game tonight. You can do that right here at the Third Street Market Hall. That begins when, Joshy?
That's a good question.
The game is at 6:30. I can tell you
that. So I would imagine no later than 6.
Okay. Joshy will be here around 6 if you want to crush a Michelob with Joshy ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday and watch Bucks Heat. That will be going on here at Third Street Market Hall. I will unfortunately not be in attendance, but I hope everybody that is has a great time and has a great Thanksgiving.
Get that ham recipe figured out.
Yeah, exactly. I got to hammer that here in a minute. We will be back with you. I will be with you Friday on podcast only. Apple Podcast, Spotify, the Wisconsin On Demand app. Reaction to Packers Lions will come at you Friday, right around this time, right around mid-afternoon or midday, I should say, on the Mr. Relevant feed.
Don't want to do it too early.
Well, I'm just going to do it at normal time, Josh.
Aren't you going Black Friday shopping
nice?
Too?
Wouldn't it be nice for the fans for them to wake up to that in their inbox?
Yeah. Hey, maybe it will. Maybe
why?
It will.
What else are you going to be doing?
We're done here. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Hungover.
Otherwise, exactly. We'll talk to you on Monday, beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, as well as the ESPN Wisconsin app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. If you haven't already, please subscribe there. Just search Mr. Relevant. It'll be the first result when you pop up. Thanks to Joshy. Thanks to Will. Thanks to Hunter. Thanks to Kyle Wallace for stopping by. This has been another terrific edition of Mr. Relevant. We'll talk to you then. Peace.